Dragonair managed to keep his face only politely attentive, despite the quiver of shock which went through him. Lord Franklin Wallace was the Republic's Chancellor, Earl Greyharbor's equivalent here in Sidermark. The fact that Kylie was here instead of an official messenger from the Chancellor's office sounded all sorts of warning bells. And the fact that Kylie was here about a message between Wallace and the Chancellor of the Council of Vicars was the next best thing to terrifying. "To hell with the next best thing, Regis," he told himself. "It damned well is terrifying, and you know it." "Indeed?" he said, as calmly as he could.
"Indeed."
His guest sat very straight, his eyes intent. "It was transmitted by semaphore for the Lord Protector's urgent attention. Unfortunately, the Lord Protector is out of the city this afternoon. He won't be returning until quite late this evening."
"I hadn't heard that," Dragonair said, listening very carefully to what Kylie wasn't saying, as well as what he was.
"Chancellor Trenair requested that his message be presented to the Lord Protector as quickly as possible, and with the utmost confidentiality. Unfortunately, that leaves us with something of a problem. Since we're not entirely certain where the Lord Protector is at this particular moment, we know his schedule, but we can't be certain he's managed to keep it. We can hardly send a copy of it racing about trying to find him. So, in order to comply with the Chancellor's request for confidentiality and security, we've transmitted the message to Protector's Palace to await his return and sent messengers looking for him to tell him that it's arrived."
"That sounds commendably thorough," Dragonair said.
"Thank you. However, that's also what brings me here today. As one of those messengers, as it were. It just happens that the Lord Protector had mentioned he might be dropping by your embassy on his way home. Obviously, his schedule isn't exactly written in stone, so I can't be certain he actually will be visiting you. If you should happen to see him, however, would you pass on a message for me?"
"I'd be delighted to be of service in any way I could," Dragonair assured him.
"I appreciate that, Ambassador." The Sidermarkian's mouth smiled, but his eyes never did. "Would you please tell him we've received a directive from the Chancellor, transmitted on behalf of the Grand Inquisitor? Obviously, I can't go into the details of such a confidential communique, but if you could, also inform him that we require his authorization for the Harbour Master, Director of Customs, and the Port Admiral to enforce the Grand Inquisitor's directive. And," he looked directly into Dragonair's eyes, "we also need his instructions as to where and how he would like us to house the crews and officers of the merchant ships involved in the enforcement of that directive until the Church is able to make her own arrangements for them."
Dragonair's stomach muscles clenched into a constricted knot. He knew his expression was giving away entirely too much, but his professional diplomat's reflexes had deserted him for the moment.
"Of course," he heard himself say.
"Thank you."
Master Kylie pushed back his chair and stood.
"Well, Ambassador, as always, it's been a pleasure. However, I'm afraid I must go. There are several other places I need to leave messages for the Lord Protector, just in case he should happen by. And I'm afraid it's rather urgent. We really need his decision on these matters no later than dawn tomorrow."
"I understand."
Dragonair rose and escorted his guest to the door.
"I hope you find him in time, and if I should happen to see him, I'll certainly pass on your message."
"In that case, Ambassador, I'll bid you good day," the Sidermarkian said.
He bobbed his head in a courteous little bow, then he stepped through the door, and it closed behind him. Dragonair gazed at the closed door for several taut seconds, then shook himself. He knew, or at least he was reasonably certain he knew, why Lord Protector Gregor had seen to it that he received Kylie's warning, despite the very real risk he and his cousin had both run. And, as the Carisian ambassador, there was no doubt in Dragonair's mind about precisely what he ought to do with that warning.
But even as he thought that, the son of the church within him recoiled from the thought of deliberately sabotaging a direct order from the Grand Inquisitor speaking for the Council of Vicars. But he isn't speaking for the entire council, Dragoner told himself, almost despairingly. He's speaking for the group of four, and God only knows what their final objective is now. Yet, even if that's true, it doesn't magically absolve me of my responsibility to honor the expressed will and decrees of Mother Church. But if I do, if I don't act on this information, then...
He leaned forward, pressing his forehead against the door's cool wood, while conscience fought with duty and conviction warred with unwilling recognition. And then, finally, he drew a deep breath, straightened his spine, and opened the door. Young Maris was waiting, and Dragoner smiled at him.
"Find me some messengers, Gerald," he said. "People you can trust to keep their mouth shut afterwards."
"Yes, sir."
What message will they have to carry?"
Maris asked, and Dragoner's smile turned into something entirely too much like a rictus.
"Let's just say that any Carisian vessel here in Siddar is about to discover she has urgent business somewhere else. Anywhere else, if you take my meaning?"
Despite himself, Maris's eyes widened. Then the color seemed to drain out of his face, and he swallowed hard.
"Yes, sir,"
he said, after a long, tense moment. "As a matter of fact, I think I know just the men we need."